That's tomorrow, and that is up.
Okay, in 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we will leave you with a, I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop-shop podcast for everything in the world, heavy metal, rock and roll, Northeast Ohio. Sometimes none of that. Sometimes we just want to expand your mind, man. My name's Eagle, and Adam West is always going to be my favorite Batman. And I am joined by the one, the only, Rubber City Redbeard.
Yodel.
Who's your favorite Batman?
Out of everything?
Yeah.
Why can't Michael Keaton?
That's a good one. He's my number two.
He's
my number two.
He's definitely my favorite out of the movies. I said that Ben Affleck was going to do a fucking great Batman, and he ended up doing a fucking really good Batman.
You thought so?
Yeah.
I saw Batman v Superman just last week, two weeks ago.
I didn't get to see the whole movie. I've seen parts of it here and there. I mean, I obviously got to sit down and fucking see the movie, but I thought he did well.
I can't see Ben Affleck doing anything. I think he's a horrible actor. And so every time I see Ben Affleck, he looks like he's... I'm just like, that's just Ben Affleck acting.
Have you seen The Accountant?
Not yet. I do want to see The Accountant.
Fucking good movie, dude.
All right. I'll get into it.
It really is a good movie.
I did see that, what was it, that Geely movie, though.
Ooh. Yeah, Giggly.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't even like him.
Girl was fucking good. I thought he played a good dad.
That's fine. I get that, but you're wrong, and I hate you.
In fucking Jersey Girl.
Yeah. Wow. Well, don't say Chasing Amy. You bring up Jersey Girl.
Well, he was better in Jersey Girl than he was Chasing Amy.
That was
he
like Jersey
sucked in Chasing Amy.
Jersey Girl was the
Either,
movie
whatever,
that killed
still
Kevin
Smith.
Smith's,
whatever.
Killed
still
Kevin Smith's career.
That's what people say, but he still had a fucking career after it. So,
well, it'd be thanks to podcasting.
No, fucking did. Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back came after fucking Jersey Girl.
No, it didn't. Jay and Silent Bob, guarantee you that one.
It came before?
Yeah. Jay and Silent Bob came in like 2000, 2001. Jersey Girl was like 2004,
whatever.
2005.
I thought Jersey Girl was a good movie. I thought it was well written. And it was a family movie, dude. It wasn't like your normal Kevin Smith kind of fucking movie.
He wrote it for his wife.
It was a heart feeling. He's got a wife and he's got a daughter.
Yeah.
So it's a heart feeling movie. I thought he did fucking well with it considering where he comes from. He comes from a fucked up kind of comedic background. You know what I mean? Like the way his brain works with Jay and Silent Bob, Mallrats and everything up to that.
It's all of it was good. All of it was good.
Yeah.
Till Jersey Girl.
I still like Jersey Girl.
I didn't like Zack and Mary.
No, I
liked Red State. Have you ever seen Red State?
Yeah, it was a fucking phenomenal movie.
Wow. And
but that was his first shot at like a thriller.
Yeah.
A horror movie or whatever, if you want to call it. I don't even call it a horror movie, but it was like a thriller. That was a good fucking movie. What was the Tusk?
I haven't seen Tusk.
It was good.
I haven't seen Tusk. I did see Yoga Hosers.
I even like Yoga Hosers.
I liked Yoga Hosers.
Okay, see?
I liked Yoga Hosers.
A lot
Hosers.
Of people fucking want to knock on that movie because of his daughter or whatever, and I'm like, dude
fuck
she's
that.
Fucking 15 years old.
Good kid.
Johnny Depp's fucking daughter, same age, like they're fucking friends. They end up doing a movie together. Kevin Smith and Johnny Depp are fucking friends. Johnny Depp's in the fucking movie. Like, I thought it was a good movie.
It was fun.
Nazi fucking bratwurst.
Bratsies.
Shoving themselves up people's assholes and killing them. This is a fucking great thing.
All right, little trivia. Do you know who played the Bratsies?
Oh, no.
Kevin Smith.
Was he with the Bratsies?
That was Kevin Smith.
Well, see.
He shaved the beard to do the role.
Even in his fucking own daughter's movie. I thought it was a good movie. A lot of people wanted to fucking talk shit about that movie, too. The only thing I don't like about... J-Lo in Jersey Girl?
She was the mom that died.
She was the bad part of Jersey Girl.
She was the mom that died.
She's the bad part of any movie she's ever in. Whatever. I'm just saying. I didn't think Jersey Girl was a bad movie.
I didn't like Liv Tyler.
I don't like Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
If she's not in one of her dad's videos dancing sexy in like a Catholic schoolgirl dress, I don't give a shit.
I like that Armageddon movie.
You did like the Armageddon. We've talked Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler. You love it.
I love that.
You love the combination of Affleck and Tyler.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thought it was good. Maybe it's because they're two shitty actors, shitty acting together.
Yeah.
And it just works out. I don't know. Just saying. I like Jersey Girl.
Two negatives equal a positive for you?
Right.
You looking up to, you fact checking this?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm getting there. I got to get out of my fucking Dio hologram.
Yeah. Just watching that Dio hologram.
I was just watching the Dio hologram that we were talking about a few weeks ago on the show. And I fucking said that it wasn't going to be good because you're not going to be able to get across like Dio live. And it's a live show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watch it and what happens? You don't fucking get Dio live.
It just looks like a projection.
It's a projection.
It's a projection.
Of Dio with a fucking CD playing in the background. And there's a backup singer actually singing live vocals in front of Dio. And
it's fucking weird.
Okay, so I don't get it. Whatever. If you're like a real Dio fan, you wouldn't even go see that shit.
You'd boycott it?
Yeah.
Protest it?
I said I won't.
Standing outside?
You don't have to protest it.
What do you got? Like, real lives matter.
You got a California Berkeley that shit?
Yeah.
Throw Molotov cocktails and be assholes and punch people in the fucking head.
And that's just assholes.
You have a different opinion than I do. Fuck you. Rah, 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 rah.
You're ruining it for the rest of your people that are.
Stomp a guy into the fucking ground while hollering for a peaceful protest. You're fucking idiots, dude. You're a bunch of fucking crybabies. Fuck you. I'm not on either fucking side. I can give a fuck about none of you motherfuckers. But Jesus Christ, you can't fucking beat the shit out of a human being while hollering for a peaceful protest. Makes no fucking sense. You're morons. Anybody that was out there in fucking masks, these fucking anarchists, quote unquote anarchists, pussies. Fuck all of you. Fuck you.
It's like at a Madball concert. The first time I ever saw Madball in concert, I went because I was a fan of the band. I was like, I like what they represent. I like the way the music sounds. I like the yelling about shit. And then when I got there, there was a good crowd, probably about 15 dudes that were wearing bandanas over their mouths.
Yeah.
And they were wearing those hardcore hats. Come on.
You know what they're there for when they're covering their face.
And as soon as the first band kicks off, man, these guys are in there doing the spin kicks and the punches and the elbows. And I was just like, oh, is that what a Madball fan's supposed to be? Because I don't want to be a Madball fan. If that's what it is.
Yeah.
If that's what it is.
You were right about Jersey Girl. It was 2004. Yeah. Jane and Silent Bob Strike Back was 2001. Either way, I still think it was a good movie, so.
Maybe I'll have to go revisit it. Maybe I'll have to go do that. I saw it once.
It was just a heart-feely movie. Little girl lost her mommy.
I just feel like Kevin Smith's career got saved by his podcasting because he was one of the innovators in the idea of like internet radioing. You may not know this. Our show sort of steals a little bit, just a little bit, borrows a little bit from one of his podcasts called Hollywood Babylon.
Yeah, I have no idea because I don't listen to that. Like, the only one that I listened to was the Smodcast, and I would listen to that periodically when I worked out at Kiwi back in the day.
I highly recommend Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, which is it's a podcast where they travel all around because Jason Mewes, as you know, recovering addict.
Yeah, and he looks like shit.
Kevin came up with the idea of, hey, let's go do a bunch of live podcasts and travel together, and we'll do shows all the time to keep you focused. On it something.
Like, it was like the money that he made from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Like, he just went on a huge bender.
Yeah.
And was heroin and crack and whatever.
But that's like crazy.
His whole mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Is just so different now.
It is.
And he looks like a drug addict. Like, you look at him and go, fuck, dude, you've done a lot of pills.
Yep.
Or, fuck, dude, you've done a lot of fucking crack. Like, there's just something about those people. Like, when you get so far into it that there's no going back to how your physical appearance used to be. Like, it will physically alter you for life. Forever, like where you can look at somebody and go, you have done drugs.
For anyone that doesn't quite get the visualization, just go deep downtown Barberton. You'll find exactly what he's talking about.
Second Street, downtown. Right in downtown.
There's some cool stuff, man. 2017, we got new shit coming out, man. There's a new Mastodon. You haven't got to hear it yet. Right?
You said it's heavy? I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, man.
I was going to check it out the other day, dude. I'm running low on my data. And I ain't got no fucking Wi-Fi at my house, so.
It was worth the listen. I listened to it once, and I was kind of like, fuck yeah, I'm excited about the next record. It's gonna be good. Body Count's got new shit that
which I have heard.
And I haven't heard. I only heard the clip from the commercial where Ice-T was making Ice-T makes his point where he's like, when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like saying Gay Lives Matter and you saying All Lives Matter. If I'm saying, you know, like this life matters, right. Women's lives matters, then blah. It's gonna be awesome. I'm so happy. So happy that Body Count is back. I mean, they've been back. Manslaughter, what a fucking tremendous record. Fuck this shit, y'all whores. Music ain't saying shit no more. Read my lips. Read my lips. Read my lips. You ain't talking about shit. America's losing. One of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life was Body Count at the fucking Peabody's.
Yeah.
And that
I missed that show. I wanted to go.
It was so good. You know who showed up at that show?
No.
Violent J.
Oh, snap.
Dude, yeah, yeah, Violent J. He was out there fucking yelling cop killer and shit, dude. I was like, what?
I've told the story before, fucking, like one of the coolest moments I've ever had in music and behind the scenes of music was the day at the Warped Tour when fucking Body Count played. And it was like Eminem's first tour. And he had just got off stage and I was waiting to fucking talk to M and pick that dude's brain because the whole Slim Shady thing just dropped and I was like, this dude's fucking weird.
He's a genius.
It was really good, but I wanted to pick his brain. You know what I mean? Because you haven't really seen anything like that guy as far as Caucasian rappers.
Yeah, or rappers in general.
Yeah. But as I'm waiting for Eminem to get done taking pictures with some people to talk to him and shit, that's when Ice-T appeared and he was walking right towards me and I was just like,
oh my God. Like, this is it, this is it, this is it.
This is the greatest thing ever. And I called him a pimp. I said, what's up, pimp? He said, what's up, baby man? How you doing? What's going on?
He called you baby man?
Baby man, yeah.
Said, how up, is your man? Nickname? How's your name on this podcast not baby man? How's every week not like, my name's Eagle and I'm joined by the one, the only baby man.
Yeah. And he gave me the homie hug and shit.
Yeah. Oh, you got the dude hug with that man.
Yeah.
I would love the dude hug with Ice-T.
He was super nice. He was a fucking nice dude. Super easy to talk to, like. You know,
he's a hell of a performer, dude. And Body Count's never been even like the Born Dead album shit. Fucking dude, Body Count dead on with the kind of music that I want to hear. Like, it's really the perfect cross of metal, hardcore, punk, just attitude. He doesn't need to sing. He doesn't need to scream.
I'm telling you shit. You're going to listen. If you've never seen the dudes that run with Body Count, they're like big fucking cock diesel motherfuckers and shit. And that was Warped Tour backstage area. That's what it was. It was just a weight room.
He threw his wife off of the stage at Peabody's into the crowd. She was wearing this suit. Like, I mean, we saw boobies.
Of course you did.
He was grabbing her by the hair, flung her out into the crowd. Just like, and he's like, tell that bitch to get off my stage. And everybody's just like,
that's your wife.
What?
You married that bitch. What are you doing?
Such an entertainer. The one thing that's new, there's a clip, a minute 14 seconds, just showed up in my Facebook feed the other day from a little band that we've only talked, we're 39 episodes, this is the 40th episode. We've talked about them 400 times, I would say. NDE, legendary local fucking NDE, put out a minute 14 of a track. In fact, that's what we're opening up this show with. This is a clip of a clip because it's fucking NDE. Dude.
It's not your mama's NDE.
It's not your mama's NDE. Man, so it's called Burning Sun 2017 teaser. Fucking YouTube it. If you're like, oh, who's NDE? I don't know what these guys are talking about.
Do we have it up on our page, right?
Yeah. We will.
Okay, yeah, just go to our Facebook page and check it out. Do that. Like our page. Like our stuff.
It's keeping it 99.
Like NDE shit. Yeah, I heard it the other day because I didn't even know they dropped it.
Yeah.
And you were like, we gotta do a show!
Yeah!
And I was like, what, did they just drop something? What happened? And it did. It sounds good, dude. It's definitely not your normal NDE, though.
Yeah, I have the transcript. There's nothing incriminating here. I messaged you as soon as I heard it. I said, NDE exclamation point, followed by book this show, Grant, with a laugh emoji. you said, why? Did they make some sort of announcement? I'm like, they put up a teaser of a new song. Yeah. So that's the same as reuniting for Keeping It 99's first promoted show. Laugh emoji, laugh emoji. You say, we'd have to pay him $500, to which I write, okay, sure. Pay him, good man. The song is dope sounding. And then I waited a little while, and I wrote you back. I was like, we get to premiere the song, right? And to which you say, yes, LOL. So is that real? Are we going to get to premiere the song? Or they're just like, no, you guys will have to just pay for it.
I'm sure it'll get premiered on their shit.
Well, that makes sense.
I don't know. Maybe they will let me.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll let us have it.
Dude, seriously, nepotism, motherfucker. Like, hey, use it. Use your nepotism.
I don't like, even
we're
know
boys.
What that means.
It's when you, it's like if you get a job because your uncle owns the place.
Oh, okay. I know what that is then.
Yeah.
I get it. Because I don't have an uncle that owns shit.
No.
This is why I couldn't get a job. Oh, but I got a job.
Yeah. Congratulations. Good, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. Since I got fired from my day gig, if y'all remember us talking about that, me getting fired from my day gig. Got another day gig. And it's even better than the other day gig.
Yeah?
I mean, yeah, it's what it went. Dude, I'm making $2.25 more an hour.
Gangster.
With full benefits.
Boom!
So, yeah, and I can roll my 401k over.
That's awesome.
So,
man. Congrats.
Yeah, thanks. It all worked out. And had I not gotten fired when I got fired, it was like this weird timing thing. Because almost as if it was supposed to happen. the company that I'm currently employed with now, they didn't have any openings, especially full time, and they were trying to figure out a way to create a position just to get me in there, and it wasn't looking good. And then the week after I got fired, one of their full time employees up and quit, and a full time position opened up, and then now I'm there.
That's called fate, motherfucker. Yeah.
So I think everything worked out how it was supposed to, other than my normal personal life, which is still in the shitter for no fucking reason. But I got a job, so
yay. You got a job, and we got to hear some new NDE. What'd you think of it?
It was good. It was really good, but it was more black metal vocals.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, dark.
Yeah.
He took it to a different place.
It was way different than any other NDE. It wasn't your normal Bobby Reinhardt vocals. Yeah. And I don't even know who's doing vocals. I couldn't tell. But, you know, like with Bobby being a Nail Black, which is, you know, a black metal band. I mean, whatever. It was good.
Dude,
I was just happy to
dude's
hear
got
fucking,
range.
I was just happy to hear a new fucking NDE tune.
Man.
You know, Greg needs to get back on the throne.
Yeah, let's see here. Like, because, you know, I mean, I'd give him $500. I'll pay that shit out of pocket right now. I'll have him come play on my mattress if they want to. Just because I want to hear an NDE show. One of my favorite,
it's been a long time.
One of my favorite bands, period. And here in the scene in the late 90s, like they were just skyrocketing. I mean, I've seen them from everywhere, from like the Crossroads to the Blossom. So I'm fucking played Blossom.
Yeah, they played Blossom. They played fucking Nautica Stage, awesome. Dude. I would actually work that show for them up there. And it was great to see him on that stage.
I've never heard a person say NDE sucked. Never seen a person go to a show. They're one of the few bands that still to this day, if they were to play a show, I would have to go. If they play in Friends, I'm pitting.
They were
pitting like a motherfucker.
They were universally loved from the Kent Akron scene up to the Cleveland scene, which wasn't so universal back in the day.
That's true.
Like Cleveland bands were Cleveland bands, and the Kent Akron scene was what it was. And NDE was one of those bands that, you know, they got love in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to crush Peabody's.
They had an energy. They had an energy to them that, like, not many bands are lucky enough to be able to have the kind of combination of dudes that four piece that they had.
The original.
Semi, because Wally joined later, right?
Well, no, I'm talking about. Like the original to me, which would be Wally,
Longo,
Reinhardt, and Cook. Those guys were the show. Like you got a show every time with that shit, man. Mm-hmm. It was so fucking good, dude. And after Longo left, and they got they replaced him three times.
Yeah.
The one dude they replaced him with, like just stared at his feet.
Oh, yeah.
The whole fucking time. And like his hair was down in front of his face, and he just seriously just like didn't do anything. I think his name was Dusty.
Yeah.
Not a bad guitar player, just didn't do shit. You know, and yeah. Wasn't Richie in that band for a second?
Oh, my guitar player.
Was it your guitar player?
My guitar player.
The guitar player for NDE?
Which was really, really awesome. I went to a few shows at Richie because Richie, I think, played bass and maybe Wally switched over to guitar at first.
Yeah, I think it's what it was.
Think then Richie ended up playing guitar. Richie was the biggest NDE fan aside from myself that I knew.
Yeah.
For years. And I couldn't do a band practice with that guy for years without us just playing like something from End of Trust or whatever, right? Like it was like we jammed a lot of NDE songs
right.
together at our practices because you know, huge fan. And so when he joined, Richie he's such a cool dude where he'd be like, they need to get Longo back. Like he was such a huge fan of NDE that he would rather have, you know, Longo back in the fold than himself because he wanted to see it as a fan himself.
Yeah.
Good dude, Rich.
Yeah, but Longo was, you know, that dude. He just played really well and yeah. was all over the place.
He did that stomp and he made those facial expressions
spin,
and
the stomp spin thing that he would do.
And when strobes good, would dude. Go off and you'd see Wally's dreads and you'd see Bobby just fucking you. Cause you see Bobby, remember like when he looked like Cousin It?
Yeah.
And you know, yeah. he's just up there just
and
like,
and he's small. You know what I mean? Like he's not a tall guy and shit. Like Bobby's a short dude. So it was just like long ass fucking hair. And him hiding behind a microphone stand because, you know, like it was just
one of the first shows. It wasn't the first show, but one of the first shows I ever saw Indy at. I finally worked up the courage to go say something to Bobby where I was just like, I'm going to let him know he rules. He needs to hear that. So I walked up to him. And I was just like, dude, can't wait to see your band. You guys fucking kick ass. You rule. And he's like, I don't know, man. I just did some acid. So we'll see. So I hope I'm not incriminating Bobby Reinhardt, but that was like my first ever encounter. And he was smiling. He was pleasant as could be, but he's just like, we'll see.
Yeah, the show probably fucking crushed.
Yeah. Oh, I've never seen a bad show from him.
Right.
But yeah, man, visually, aesthetically pleasing. Audibly, there's not a band that – there's something about that band, like how heavy they are with the drums and the guitars, but how fucking grooving – that shit is, and the lyrics always just spoke to me. There was always just like, you're a dick. Get the fuck away from me. Why don't you just get a life?
They're also kind of one of those bands, though, like if you heard it, you'd know instantly just from the tone that it was NDE.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you hear a Lamb of God song start up, you don't have to hear any of the song. It's just the guitar tone and the riffage. You instantly know, okay, this is a Lamb of God song.
Mm-hmm.
And they were one of those bands. They had a sound.
There's never not been a pit like at an NDE show. You've never been to an NDE show.
You worked if you went to that show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I would like I planned weekends around it.
Yeah. Well, I would plan visits to the hospital around NDE shows and shit. Like you knew like, okay, we're going to see NDE Friday night. Might have to go to the hospital.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Even though I knew you as you know, working security at places and stuff, because at the time when I was just a show goer. Yeah, I had like my little circle of friends from my school that, you know, it was like maybe one or two of them would go to these shows with me. But when I would go to the shows, there was always familiar people. And I always remembered you as being like a guy that I was going to be pitting with.
Yeah.
Like we got friendly without even really knowing each other in the pit.
That's how I met a lot of people, dude, was on the floor. Like I had a jersey. My Dallas Cowboys fucking Deion Sanders jersey, dude. That jersey was fucking famous. When that fucking jersey showed up at a show... it was showtime. It was time to fucking move. You know, like you weren't going to be able to stand still if that jersey was in a room, period. Like me and fucking Buddy would walk into a show and we instantly go to the floor and make that floor move.
Yeah.
That's what I was there for.
I always knew to make friends with you guys.
This is what we came for.
I always knew to make friends with you guys. It was always like, what's up? You guys ready? NDE. NDE was definitely a bonding thing. For us, seeing those guys live. I had the Team Pain 98.
Yeah.
And I rocked that shit. I only had it for like 6 months, and then I think it was at an Odious Sanction pit. Some dude kept pulling on my shirt.
Ruined it.
Like ripped a fucking hole in it. I ended up like taking him. We didn't get into a fight, but I took him outside, like grabbed him, took him outside, and I kept going, you're buying me a new shirt. You're getting me this fucking shirt. Exact. You're getting me this shirt. And he was just like, dude. And then next time I saw him at an NDE show, he was totally going to buy me the fucking shirt. They didn't. They weren't selling shirts.
Yeah, they sold out of those. I actually have the positives for the Team Pain shirts.
Let's do it.
At my house.
All right, here's the deal. We booked the show. Keeping It 99 presents NDE.
And we got to bring back the Team Pain 99.
17. Oh, Team Pain. Team Pain Keeping It 99.
Team Pain Keeping It 99 shirts.
I was gonna say we could just put the 17, you know, be like,
because it's keeping it 99. They can redo the Team Pain 99s.
Yeah. So if anybody knows Greg Cook, the drummer, who's talk to him for us and say, hey, these guys, they're willing to give you stuff. Comic books? Do you like comic books? Do you like what's your favorite kind of beer? Do you wear baseball caps?
I was like, that night when I walked out, because I was at a laundromat doing laundry when I was texting you about that show. So when I was walking out of the laundromat that night, and I was thinking, like, okay, what if I buy him a quarter cow, right, that to bribe him with? Because he fucking smokes meat. He cooks. He's a meat smoker. He's not a pole smoker. Don't get this confused. It's different. Different meats and shit. But he does. He likes pork and he likes beef and he cooks and shit. He used to throw a show every year at the Outpost. It was an annual show called Align the Nine. Do you remember that?
I do remember Align the Nine.
Align the Nine. It was a big thing, man. It was a really big show. That's actually how I started working at the Outpost. Was Greg had me run the Align the Nines, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make sure everything went on time and everything was cool and we didn't have any fucking problems and shit. And the first one, some fucking dude, drunk, and I still see him to this day, like around town and shit. And he kind of gives me like the nod, like, what's up?
Yeah.
But he doesn't like me. He got drunk and got up on stage, and I pulled him down. I was like, get the fuck off the stage. Don't get on the fucking stage. As soon as I pulled him down, he got right back up on stage. So then it was just on, right? I fucking hopped up on stage, grabbed this fucking dude, chicken winged him, and walked him from the back of the venue all the way out the front. And as I'm walking him out the front, Burn Blue Sky had their fucking road cases, like their big giant road cases, and one was open. And I fucking stuffed this dude head first into a road case, like his feet, like how you see comically on a movie where people get stuffed in the trash cans. I stuffed him into the road case like that. Like, just stuffed him into the fucking road case, feet are kicking and shit, and I'm cussing at him the whole time, like, you motherfucker, I fucking told you, stay the fuck off the stage. And I pull him out of the fucking road case, and the security guy that Joe had working there at the time, who was a Marine, big, like, built dude, fucking Marine, red hair and shit, like, really nice guy. I can't remember his name now. I wish I could, but he was a really nice guy. As I pull this dude out of the road case, he fucking snatches this guy from me like a fucking handoff at a football game and throws him right out the fucking front door. And I went right back to doing what I was doing. But it was just like, if you could have seen it, it was so smooth and poetic of like an ejection out of a club. It was great. But yeah, Align the Nine. So he stopped doing the Align the Nine shows and he does a cookout at his house every year called Align the Swine.
Oh.
Well, because Greg's clever. So I was like, ooh, what if we, you know, pay NDE and I throw Greg some fucking meat. Buy him a fucking pig.
A little bonus, a little incentive.
You know, to get back on the throne.
Because we
want you to play. Greg Cook, listen, man, you're one of the fucking best drummers in this fucking state.
Ever.
In the state, man. Like, seriously, you're one of the best drummers I've ever met in my life. I've met a lot of fucking musicians in my time. You are solid as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to sit back down and play right now, it would be beautiful. You'd be out of breath and sweaty. But it would be beautiful. It would be fucking awesome. Like, you're a fucking hell of a drummer, dude. So, can we make this fucking NDE show happen?
Please.
Can we please make this NDE show happen?
The dude's so good that when he played, like, did, like, the few weeks stint with Green Jelly, which is fucking rad.
Right.
I walked out, me and my buddy Link, our nerdy rap group, got to open up the show. And I left going, like, I'll talk to Greg Cook.
Kind of fanboy.
Yeah, fanboyed out on a guy who's, you know, I mean, like, my guitar player played guitar for NDE temporarily.
Right.
And like, that was cool and all, but, like, I see Greg Cook, and I'm not like, hey, we have a mutual friend. We're peers, because my guitar player, I share him with you, and so we are peers. No, I was just like, dude, you're fucking awesome, bro. Dude, holy shit, you just talked to me? Because the guy, I mean, I've told the story on an early episode. Like, the first time I ever saw NDE, it was like he went to Lowe's and got the letters NDE on the drum kick. And I believe it was his first show with the band.
Yeah.
It was like July 3rd, 1998. And I stood.
It's crazy that you fucking remember the date.
I stood right at the front of the fucking stage and just watched him fucking play. Like, just watching the kick move.
Right.
And I'll never forget it. They're one of those bands. They're key, not just to me as a music fan, just as a person, as a fucking human being.
Right.
NDE became part of my psyche when I was a fucking young kid.
Yeah, your existence and shit. Like, and that's how I felt about them.
And so yeah, man, like, we'll buy you a fucking cow. Do you want a cow? You just want a cow? I'll go in and have these.
Okay, now, do you know how much a whole cow costs?
How much is a whole?
We can't do that.
A live cow costs.
We're talking thousands. We can't do that.
Okay.
That's a lot of fucking live cow. I don't want to buy them. I'm going to buy them.
How many thousands are we talking?
Two, at least. Like, it's a fucking lot of money.
Yeah.
But we could buy him a pig.
Okay. Okay.
We could buy him a pig.
Would that work, Greg? Greg Cook?
I think if we bought
Greg. If anybody knows Greg Cook, go ask
him. I think if we bought Greg a pig, he might consider this.
Mm-hmm.
Greg. I'm just saying. And he is. He's one of those drummers that's so good that, like, I'll watch. Greg Cook, man. You're one of the best fucking drummers I've ever met in my life. So like play this goddamn show.
I like that we're talking directly to Greg Cook. I know you're listening.
I know you listen to us loyally. And that you know who we are. And that you are a fan of us. So do it. Give you a piggy.
We'll buy you a fucking pig. We'll slaughter it at your show. We'll slaughter it at the fucking show. If that's what it fucking takes. God damn.
He smokes meat a lot. So I was like, quarter of a cow. Offer him up a quarter of a cow, pay him $500. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, man. I'll pay Andy some money. Out of pocket.
I told Wally, I said, we'll pay you money and we'll give you sandwiches.
Man.
We'll get Mr. Zubs to fucking sponsor that shit.
Oh, see, there you go.
I know. My brain.
Talking about, working. You know, cross-promoting synergy, man. Some synergy.
And what better fucking people to feed than metalheads?
Right.
They smoke pot and they drink and they eat food. So.
And we figured out earlier how the lineup could go, right? Just putting it out there. Say you get Burn Blue Sky.
Right.
Say Foul Spirits.
Yeah.
Because now you got Burn Blue Sky, you got some of the Foul Spirits dudes. And NDE, you got some of the Foul Spirits dudes are there already. And then get Redwater to Tragedy.
Yeah, I was saying, like, can we get Redwater to open?
And then that means that you have Hate Theory in the motherfucking house.
Yeah, the only person that's missing from those bands to make Hate Theory is Jason Latman, the drummer.
Okay.
And he'd be there. Yeah! And he makes killer salsa, by the way.
Ah.
Which is Wyndham salsa. Really good fucking salsa. Mango habanero is the shit.
Mango habanero.
You can pick up your jars of fucking Wyndham salsa at Heads Up.
Right.
Head Shop in Cuyahoga Falls on State Road.
Just fantasy booking. I love fantasy booking concerts. I used to make up, when I was younger in high school, I used to make like fake flyers for shows that I'd want to see just for myself. Like, I'd draw out the logos. Be like, Kid Rock, NDE.
I never did that, but I did a lot of, I did a lot of flyering back in the trap days.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, would drive to Pittsburgh, Columbus.
Whoa, you went like all the way out there to go flyering?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because there were bands from there that would fucking, that was back in the day when people would trade shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was a thing. And 2 hours away, it wasn't shit. Especially, like, if you just wanted to go for a drive.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, we would do that.
I flyering was always one of my favorite things. I have a good story about the first time I ever had the flyer experience. And I was talking with my buddy Brian a while back. And I was reminded of there was this time. But it was probably October of 98. If I'm coming up with a set time, because it was definitely in the 20. Fall. I was 17, and I was still in high school, but I've already spent the past year or two, year and a half really, of going to the local shows with Brian. Like, you know, we went already. We've had our experiences seeing bands like NDE, and we were like, it's time for us. It's time for us to get our shit together. So
breaking on the scene.
So we started our very, very first band, which in hindsight was a clusterfuck of a situation, because it was like five dudes, all kids. Nobody's ever been in a band together before.
I mean, you're all fucking 17.
We hung out for two hours just plugging shit in, seeing where we could get set up, and we left like, I think we're on to something, fellas. I think we got ourselves something really special here. So we did one practice. So what's the next logical step, right? You got to go get flyers, because you're not a real band. That's the rule. You're not a real band until your band's on a flyer or the marquee of a concert venue. Until you see your band somewhere else, not a real band. So we came up with this genius name. You'll like the name. It was Prototype.
Oh.
Prototype.
Makes sense.
We were like, we'll call it Prototype. And I think I was like on some sort of Fear Factory kick at the time. Could be wrong, but I do remember thinking it's like sci-fi, like, you know, really cool kind of metal like that. That's what we'll be doing, which that's not what we ever did. So Brian, he could draw, and he made this robot on a piece of paper. It was like an 8x10, just regular, basic white piece of paper. We go to Kinko's, and he's writing out the logo. He writes Prototype at the top of it, and I'm like, that's fucking kick ass. And he writes 420 at the end of it. He goes, we're now going to be Prototype 420. I'm like, Prototype, what's the 420? I didn't know. Had no idea.
You weren't hip to the 420. I was international smoking time.
And he goes, because of weed, dude. And I'm like, weed? And so we had this whole fight in Kinko's about how I don't want the 420 at the end.
Because you weren't into weed back then?
I smoked like a dime. Our thing was we'd smoke a dime bag on the weekends. Every Friday, we'd pick up a dime bag, and then Sunday, we'd finish that dime bag.
Right.
And then we'd be clean and sober for the rest of the week. So we're fighting in the middle of Kinko's over this whole Prototype 420 deal. And I'm just like, no, I don't want to be associated, because two of the dudes that were going to be in the band, which we never did shit. We had like two more practices after that before we were like, oh, fuck this. But they were all like diehard Christian. They really love Jesus and shit. And so I was just like, they're not going to be down with the 420 anyway. It's stupid. And he's like, I like weed a bunch, so we're doing it.
God gave us weed. It's in Genesis.
And he's like, I made the flyer. I drew the robot. I wrote the thing. I made it. And so I'm like, whatever, do it. So we pay. We get like 200 fucking big flyers, because back then we didn't have the concept of making small flyers. We're like just giant, huge pieces of paper. Make 200 of these things. We're like, all right, tomorrow we'll go hit up Quonset Hut in Fairlawn. We'll hit up the Record Exchange. And we'll put them up on there. So people will just see. And all it was a flyer that just said Prototype 420. Didn't say anything.
No,
it wasn't like
nothing else. No,
it wasn't like
date, time, place.
Nope. Nothing. Just Prototype 420, just to get it in, because we were like, brand recognition was what we were going for.
Sure.
We want people to go like, oh, what's your band called? Be like, Prototype 420.
I've
like,
seen
oh,
that.
I saw that. Yeah.
Do I know what that is?
I've heard of you. You guys must be pretty good. I saw a flyer. So we're leaving Kinko's. We go to Charger Lanes, the bowling alley in our town, and you know, we're like, well, we'll go shoot some pool, whatever, and start walking towards Charger Lanes. And Brian gets this fucking genius idea. He's like, let's flyer the cars. And I'm like,
yeah, in the parking lot. I was like, stick them under the windshield wipers, right?
Yeah. And I was like, that's fucking brilliant. Let's fucking do that.
Nobody does this.
So we're flyering. We get busted by like a couple people. One dude was even just like, what are you guys doing? Like, we're flyering for our band. He's like, oh, that's cool. You guys got a band. He's like, well, when's the show? I go, oh, we just had a practice.
He's like, why are you flyering?
Yeah, he's like, that's not how that works.
That's not how you do. Was it me that was yelling at him?
No. But he's telling us, and we're just, you know, he's like, that's not how that works. You can't just put a piece of paper that says a band name on it, and what's that do for you? And I'm just like, gets people to recognize the band. He's like, well, right on, my car is over there. Like, totally fine with it. Another dude that busted us, let us know, do not put a flyer on my truck.
He played football.
Yeah.
He played football.
He's like,
high school, yeah.
He's like, what are you guys doing? We're like, we're putting up flyers. He goes, I don't want any. And he like slams the hood of his truck, like pats it, you know, with his hand. He's like, this right here, don't put any on mine. So we're like, I think he said put five on his. Yeah, he said put five on his. So we get, like, there's like 100 fucking cars in this parking lot.
Yeah, the place used to be packed all the time.
Every single car. We're going up and down, and we're trying to duck from people from getting busted and shit. We go inside, we're hanging out, and at one point, we hear a dude go, what's this prototype 420 shit? And we're like, he's talking about us. See? It's already working. It's already working. So
little do you know he wants to punch you in the face.
Right, right. We're just like, okay, he's going to talk about us later. It's gonna pay off in the end. So when we end up leaving, go outside and I look down on the ground and I notice that the ground's a little wet. And I was just like, huh, must have rained. Must have fucking rained. So now there's
just fucking spit wads on people's cars, basically.
Dude, yeah. And we see people, because a lot of people are leaving at this point, like people like peeling these paper, because I mean, they're big fucking flyers peeling this shit. And one dude even backed out and then got out of his car because that's when he recognized it. Gets out of his car in the parking lot. And he's like, son of a bitch. So we never did that again.
Yeah, bad idea.
It was
I don't know how many times I've walked out of clubs, though, and I've had fucking flyers stuck to my car because it rained on them and shit.
Right.
That's just a thing, dude. People flyer shows all the time that way.
Yeah.
I don't know that if I've ever had a flyer on my car without a show date and a venue.
we just had
a band. And you wouldn't even know it's a band. It's not like Prototype 420. The band.
Yeah. Is this a movie?
It's just
a
robot that says Prototype 420. You wouldn't know what the fuck it was.
Yeah.
Prototype 420. Side note. Remember the Protopipe?
Yes.
Heavy brass metal pipe that you used to smoke out of was very self-contained. Yep, look at that.
If we would only thought of that.
So old.
One time I went flying up for the Blind Lemon.
Yeah.
And we had
some good shows at that place.
We got to open up for Crowbar. We were super excited. And so we make these flyers. It's like Crowbar, one of the other bands, Crush Groove. We're so fucking like, yeah, dude, we got a picture of Crowbar on the flyer. Trip made it up. He does really well with the Photoshop shit. So me and our band manager Butcher, we're up there, and we're hitting up every phone pole for like 5 blocks, right in front of the Blind Lemon. We're like, all right, I go that way, you go that way. So I'm doing the flyering on one side, and I see this dude, and he's one of those dudes, super long, black hair, leather jacket, death metal band T-shirt.
Probably worked right there at the fucking record store.
And yeah. So he's putting up flyers. I caught that this motherfucker was putting his flyers over my flyers.
Oh, that's a no-no, man. You get into fucking fights over shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, I cussed a fucking band out for trying to put their sticker over another band sticker. I literally walked up, snatched the sticker out of this fucking chick's hand and chastised her. Like, the fuck is wrong with you? You don't fucking do that shit. What the fuck? If you went around fucking putting your shit up and then people came in and fucking put their shit up over your shit, how the fuck would you take it? You don't do that. It's like tagging over somebody's tag.
I just don't think I was feeling confrontational. I was just, because I caught it after we passed each other and I was walking back. I was done. And I look over and I don't see mine, but I see the flyer that he's putting up, hit the next one. And I'm like, he did that for like fucking 20 telephone poles.
I would have walked back and took them all down.
Well, what I did was I went to the McDonald's. I waited like 10, 15 minutes. And I came back and I covered his.
With some more?
With mine, yeah. Just covered his.
I would have just fucking ripped his down, period. He wouldn't even have one fucking existing anymore.
Yeah, that's such a cocksucker move.
That's a bad move, man.
That's such a cocksucker.
Dick move from a fucking band.
I mean, bands still do flyers. I see them and shit, but God, dude, like nowhere near on the level that it used to be.
No, but that was like we didn't have the
Facebook
and the social media and shit. Even in the MySpace days, dude, like MySpace was relatively, you know, new coming out.
Yeah.
And flyering was the way that you got your shows out there.
That shit was so fun.
Street teaming, man.
Street team.
And that was the best part about flyering, though, was actually going to other shows and handing your flyer hand to hand to other people and talking to them. That's how you got people to your show.
Mm-hmm.
If you were cool and people liked you as a person, they were more apt to come out to see their show. That's just how it was. I used to get fucking so many people to come out to fucking shows just because I was cool to talk to. No other reason. And then they would come out to the shows and they'd fucking see Bobby Clark. You know? And they're like, fuck! Who's this guy? Had no idea. No, you fucking didn't because you've never fucking seen it before. But now you're here, so come out to the next show.
Shows are good, guys.
Yeah, shows are good. Bobby Clark's even better.
You saw a show from a band called Triangulum?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't remember how many bands was on the bill. It was a bunch of bands.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of those local showcases.
Okay.
So, you know, two stages.
40 bands.
Right. Ridiculous fucking night. But yeah, there was one band, and they're from Wadsworth. Of all places, Wadstucky. They're called Triangulum, and I don't know if you're into Coheed and Cambria.
I can get a little down with
the vocals were very Coheed and Cambria-esque.
Okay, Is that right? How's Coheed and Cambria sing?
Yeah,
I'm thinking like crazy high pitched,
very high pitched.
Okay,
yeah. But just well written fucking songs, and these guys are really good. Guitar tone, amazing. Bass tone, amazing. Their drummer, fucking solid. Like, it was just, they're just a good band. A good fucking band. If you get a chance to see Triangulum or check them out on Facebook, hit them up.
They a brand new band?
I don't know how long they've been around. I haven't heard of them before. I haven't seen them before. I don't know. I really don't know. They're good.
Progressive rock metal band from Akron area, Ohio. Influences include, you ready? Monuments, Coheed and Cambria, ding, 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 Periphery, who I listened to Periphery a few days ago.
It's a good band.
It's a tight band, man. Yeah. Really good. Enjoy them. I know I said tight. And for anybody who doesn't know, tight kind of means like I didn't really like it, but like, you know, they don't totally suck.
Yeah, tight also means they're just tight.
They're tight.
They play really well together and they're fucking on time.
But we have to look each other dead in the eye to see which version we mean every time we say it.
As soon as Eagle said tight, like I looked at him like, which tight are you talking about? That's fucking
the
funny.
Ancients. There's two eyes in ancients, so I'm assuming it's Ancients. Tesseract. Ha! I like Tesseract. I like Mastodon. I love Clutch, and I love Etc. This is the description on Triangulum's Facebook page.
They're good, dude. Like, I sat there and watched their whole set.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm saying. They sucked me into watching their whole set. And then on the side stage, there was a shittier band who was, like, warming up. And you can hear them in between Triangulum songs. Like, if Triangulum finished a song, you can fucking hear these dipshits over here fucking...
Dipshits!
Twanging on their fucking shit.
What if they're awesome people?
They were nice kids. Fucking dipshits, though. You don't fucking do that shit while another band's playing. Like, yeah, right? How would you fucking like it? But seriously, they're warming up in between the goddamn songs. And like Triangulum was so good that Palm got up from the soundboard and walked over to the other stage and told him to shut the fuck up. No! He said, hey, chill the fuck out for 5 minutes. Why don't you? Like, that's twice he had to tell him. And they finally got it. They were like, fucking okay, we'll stop and shit. But the second time, like, Palm got up and told him once. And then they fucking did it again. And I looked at Palm like, what the fuck? And Palm got up and marched over there and was like, yo, seriously, 5 fucking minutes. That's all you got to do. 5 minutes. Shut the fuck up.
Do you remember the band Dog Fashion Disco?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. We played a show a few times.
Rhymes Crossroads?
No. Agora Ballroom.
Oh.
That would have been fucking sweet. Dave Brocky played it too.
Oh.
But Dog Fashion Disco.
Ball Sacks and Buttholes.
Dog Fashion Disco is playing right after us. We're playing right before him, right? And we're doing our thing, and the drummer from Dog Fashion Disco is off to the side, and he just starts hitting his snare like. And we're like, you know, ending the song. And as soon as the song's over, you know, in between songs, I tend to, you know, do a little like waka waka. Like,
yeah. Your little shtick.
Do a little shtick in between songs and shit, right? And so I'm trying to do my shtick, and I'm just like hearing.
Yeah, when that's throwing you off.
And so, like, I just started going, buh, 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 buh. Like, with his thing, I'm like, is it tuned? Does it sound good? Does it sound all right? And Joel, who normally just, like, the friendliest guy, he was, like, the spokesman for our band when we'd play with other bands. Our drummer was the kind of guy who was just like, hey, what's up, dude? You guys are awesome. I like you, and you're nice.
He's like happy and nice, almost annoyingly.
Yeah.
True.
Almost.
Almost, yeah.
Never reaches
like,
annoying.
Like I said, when he did the little shuffle in the fucking mosh pit and got wrecked by Jimmy Ware. I mean, that's him. He stops a mosh pit to do a dance.
Yeah, right? So Joel's usually cool as shit with anybody. And finally, like, Joel's just, like, looking like, I'm going to fucking kill this dude. He's throwing off my time. He's throwing off my timing. And at one point, like, we do another song, you know, so that was a minute and a half goes by. And done with the next song. And then it's just all of a sudden you hear, like, and Joel's just like, dude!
And I've seen Joel get upset before.
Yeah, that reminded me of that.
That's fucking awesome. So
anytime I think of Dog Fashion Disco, 9 to 5 at the morgue.
But those guys, you know, they were better than everybody and shit. Like, that's how Dog Fashion Disco came off. Their attitudes were that they were fucking the shit.
Yeah, they're the best Faith No More cover band I've ever heard.
Yeah. But, I mean, they did have that fucking, the head about them. You know, and I never got it. They were cool with Dan Kogar. That's how you know their fucking attitudes suck.
Oh, good old Kogar.
Kogar, yeah. Like, when you're down with Kogar, you're a fucking asshole. True story.
You hear that, Coleco kids? You hear that?
Yeah, well, look, they didn't.
That guy owes me so much money.
He owes everybody so much money.
So much money.
Hey, all 67 bands that he ripped off.
In one night.
How about you fucking get a hold of us and we'll fucking get a hold of this guy and then let's make this fucking happen.
One fatal swoop. But I'll totally check out Triangle and let me know.
They're looking to book some shows, man. They got a hold of me that night, or they talked to me that night at the club, and they were wanting to know who to get a hold of to book shows because it was a showcase that they were on.
I got it. Let's book them with NDE at the Keepin' It 99 NDE show.
I'd book them on that.
Yeah.
I would book those guys on that.
Let's do that.
They're good. They and here's the thing is, like, they're young kids and they would be in a room of seasoned ass fucking metal musicians and I guarantee, even if you're not into that kind of thing, you know what I mean? You would respect what these guys do because they're just really fucking good. They're good, man.
Best bands that's like the highest compliment. It's like if you're not into that kind of shit but you find yourself being into that shit.
Right.
That's how you know you're good.
You know you're good. And again, you know, they had me watch their whole set. That's another clue that you're good. If you draw my attention for over a half an hour.
Because your opinions aren't just opinions. They're alternative facts.
They're factual opinions. Hashtag factual opinions.
Factual opinions.
And that's what I call them. But I'll tell you the truth, man. I'll fucking tell you if you suck. If you want to know if you played well, ask me. I'll tell you. I'm not going to fucking blow smoke up your ass. I'll let you fucking know if you sucked. Hey, if anybody needs overkill tickets for February 15th up at the Agora, I think they're playing the ballroom / theater. Not playing the theater, right?
Yeah.
It's Overkill, Nile, and a band called... I'm not allowed to say it.
Not Guar? They're called Not Guar.
It's a band called Lordy that looks a lot like Guar and that Eagle's not a fan of because of the whole Guar thing.
And they lip sync. They lip sync.
Yeah, the Milli Vanilli shit. So whatever. But either way, they're on the bill. So even if you're a Lordy fan, I don't give a shit. I'm talking to you too because I need to get rid of these fucking
tickets. Overkill's awesome. I like Nile.
I'm a Nile fan.
Overkill is, in my opinion, they're like top three thrash bands of all time. So boom.
I have three tickets. $25 tickets, $25 face value. I'll sell you all three for $30.
Yeah.
You're getting these tickets. $25 tickets, $10 a piece.
Hit Grant Kuss up on the Facebooks.
Hit me up at Grant Kuss, KUSS at Facebook, or you can fucking Rubber City Redbeard at Facebook, or you can hit us up on Keeping It 99 at Facebook.
Yeah. And if you're like, what Grant Kuss? Who is it?
I have a giant red beard. Fucking Christ. How have you not gotten this yet? Rubber City Redbeard. That's why they call me this.
Get your overkill tickets from that man. Cheap.
Super cheap.
Cheap.
Cheaper than an Arlington Hua.
I'm telling you, he was dirty.
Well, shit, my friend. I believe that it is a certain time of the fucking show.
It is the good time of the show.
It's the best time, some people would say. I'd say.
Yeah, we both say.
It's
our favorite time.
Keeping it 99 award for favorite time of the show is this time. You want to tell them what it is?
Yeah, I mean, I can.
All right.
It's fucking Badass Band of the week. Yeah!
In your face!
Bitch! What now? Yeah, I'm just saying.
Whoa.
Boom!
All right, I just got this, called a bitch.
This week, I just got called a bitch.
That's cool.
This week, Highland Rose.
Not Highland Square. Don't get it confused.
Don't get it confused with the place.
Yes, or Amber Rose, the...
The porn chick.
No, she's not a
porn... She's a porn chick, right? Is she fucked on camera? She fucked on camera.
Amber Rose... Dude, if she fucked on camera, I would know.
Isn't she... She fucks all the hip-hop dudes?
She fucks some hip-hop... She sticks the finger in Kanye's ass.
Oh!
She's that chick.
Either way, not them. So... Highland Rose, a band from Youngstown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they play locally often, man. They played up at the Outpost. They actually just played last week with Triangulum.
Ooh.
They played the same
show.
Were,
they played the show?
They played that show.
They were not, they're not the, the people you call dipshits.
No.
No.
Not the dipshits.
Nope.
No. These guys are really good. Young cats. Mm-hmm. I still put X's on one of the dudes, if not two of the dudes. That's how young. X's.
Nice.
Right. Can't drink it. So, solid ass fucking rock and roll band. Riffy as fuck. Solid, solid fucking band. I love these kids. Palm loves these kids. And again, like, it's one of those things. You get the sound guy to like you, and Palm himself is a really good guitar player. Like,
Groovesmith. The Groovesmith.
Yeah. He was in Groovesmith.
Yeah.
They groove.
They do.
They're groovy.
They're in my car.
They won't get back together.
Just like NDE?
They teased the shit. Like, last week, I talked to the fucking, the one singer, and she said that they were all getting together, and I was like, what's happening? What is happening?
Do I get to see a show?
What's going on? New and she record? Said, oh, no, we're all just getting together for dinner. And I was like, look, this reminds me of the time that my dad moved back home for like 2 weeks after the divorce, and I really thought they were going to get back together, and they didn't. They didn't. And it ruined my life. Ruined it.
So he likes Highland Rose.
Yeah, Palm's down with some fucking Highland Rose. They're really good, man. Fucking Joe, the owner of the Outpost, he fucking likes these guys as well. Check them out on Facebook.
You can download their, they got a brand new EP called The Canton Sessions Volume 1 at highlandrose.us. We'll be playing a track here to end the show.
What's that track called?
It's called Hear Me Out.
Hear him out. You got to. Because we're going to play it for you.
Yeah.
That's why you have to.
I believe that it's called the Canton Sessions because it was recorded in North Canton.
That makes sense.
At LMS Studios. What?
I don't even know what that is.
Right there, we got it.
So check them out, man. Highland Rose, Badass Band of the Week on Keeping It 99. I'm motherfucking Rubber City Redbeard.
My name's still Eagle.
Bam!
Bye.
That we hate. Tell me yours, I can't relate. But it won't help with your disorder. I see your struggles, listen clear. Your inner demons are so near. Your heartbeat's slow and it gets colder. The ties are high, you're getting weak. The price of a lie. Sick disease, you need some help, it's getting